And now Father Curtis Hecker is going to talk about his vocation story.
Yeah, so, I guess I'm the fifth of 10 kids, so a large Catholic family, 5 boys, 5 girls, and I'm number 5 of the 10, so I fall right in the middle, but even though I'm the fifth oldest, I'm the oldest boy, so 4 older sisters, and I tell everyone that one day that, they'll look at that, and when I get to the pearly gates, people say, you have 4 older sisters, you're good to go, you just come right in, right? So, my family originally were from, my dad's from North Dakota, my mom from Pennsylvania, and they met in Rapid City, dad was in the Air Force, and they met up there, and moved to Kansas for a job, and so we're at St. Patrick's here in Wichita, and I was born there at St. Patrick's, baptized there. And then in about 95, we moved down to Arkansas City, and here in Kansas, it's the Arkansas River, and it's Arkansas City, and so when I was down there and growing up, I was probably, I was probably 12 years old before I realized the state was called Arkansas. I thought it was Kansas and Arkansas. So, grew up outside of Ark City, and then a good Catholic family, homeschooled all the way through. My mom homeschooled all 10 of us. The first time I set foot in a classroom, really for a class, was my first day of college. It's quite a little bit of a shift for me. So we moved out just outside of Ark City from 95 until about 2000. In late 1999, my mom saw this advertisement for a farm, and this is 99 with the Y2K scare, remember? And so it was advertised Y2K ready, okay? And so, and what they meant by that is that this little piece of ground, it was 68 acres out by Dexter, Kansas, which nobody's ever heard of unless they know Henry's Candy Factory, which that's what Dexter, Kansas is known for, is Henry's Candy Factory. So mom saw this advertisement for a Y2K ready farm, and both my mom and my dad always wanted a farm before they had met, and so she called and said she wanted to see it, but this farm probably 3, 4, or 5 miles not quite that much, at least a mile from the nearest power source. It was just a plot of ground out in the pasture, and but they said they wanted it, and they said if we want this farm, we have to move out there as it is, because we can't rent a place in town, and we can't, rent a place in town and make payments on this farm. So if we want it, we have to move out as it is. So I think we had 9 kids at the time, moved out to a farm with no electricity, no running water for from 2000 to 2005, no electricity. And so there's just so many stories of, if we wanted to watch TV, we'd eventually we got a generator, and every so often, maybe once or twice a year, we'd rent a television and bring it out and fill up the generator and watch Lord of the Rings or whatever with the generator, and then it never failed that right at the highest point, right at the peak, the action scene, the generator starts spluttering and then it dies. And so my brother and I would grab a flashlight in our boots and run out as fast as we could and dump gas in the generator and get it started back up to finish our movie, right? So very simple times, just very, very simple. It took months of kind of going out there. When we first moved out there, you'd walk into a room and hit the light switch, and there's no power there, no light. So the transition kind of, it took us a little bit to get used to that. And really this was... I was probably about 13, 14 when we moved out there. And so, my early high school years were, homeschool, out of farm, 25 miles from town, with pretty much just my family. And it's amazing how, you get unplugged a little bit. You get out of the squirrel cage, the rat race, the busyness of life. And all of a sudden, the simpler things become much more clear. And so, it's just something as simple as seeing the stars, being out in the country where we didn't have our closest neighbor was about a mile away, to see stars at night, that was, it's something very simple, but I started seeing God's fingerprints And I started seeing, just the beauty of God's creation in nature. And so it kind of allowed me to unplug from, you know, the grid and television and a lot of just other things that could be distractions. And so we grew up, my family prayed the rosary every day and mass was not an option, was not optional. And I thought about being a priest when I was young, but when I got to high school, the idea just kind of scared me. You know, I didn't think I could handle, I knew it was 8 years of college and seminary, and I didn't think I could handle that. And the responsibilities of being a priest, that just scared me to death. And about that time, I found my first love, which was cars and tractors. I love mechanics. I love old Ellis Chalmers tractors. My dad and I would work on them till late in the night, just working on tractors or cars, or just love working with my hands. And so, you know, I thought that's what I wanted to do. And so, the idea of the priesthood never really went away, but it kind of went to the background a little bit. And time went on, and I went to Cowley College in Ark City. So I started taking classes there, and I met this gentleman by the name of Cliff Gottlob, and he does he did contract engineering with GM, I started talking with him, and he still did a lot of contract engineering for Corvette in particular, and he wanted to know if I would be interested in working with him and possibly taking the sponsorship for driving his prototype Corvettes and helping him develop parts for Corvette. You know, here I was, you know, I love cars, with the opportunity to be a race car driver. I thought, this is it. I found it. You know, this is going to be awesome. And so, I started studying engineering, but, you know, the reality is in the racing world, it's upfront big, a lot of money, even for developing starting racer. And so one of the caveats that Cliff said was that he wanted me to have an engineering degree before I started working for him. And so I was halfway there for my studies at Cowley, but I kind of wanted to finish my school. I needed to finish my schooling, but I didn't want to take on debt. So I thought, you know, what's the fastest way that I can make a large amount of money in the shortest period of time? And it just so happened that the weekend I was graduating from Cowley College, my brother-in-law, who lived up by in McCracken, Kansas, which is up by Hayes, in the middle of nowhere, he was working for an oil drilling company up there, and he said, "Hey, Curtis, I can get you a job. This is Friday night. I can get you a job starting Monday. It pays like $19 an hour." And I said, "I'm there. I will be there." So I ended up becoming a roughneck for a year and a half and working on an oil rig up by Hayes, Kansas, in the middle of nowhere, and that was. That itself, just if you had any idea how shy I was and how sheltered I was, and just, I mean, to go from that, the comedy of this situation, of this shy, sheltered homeschool kid that, you know, was as naive as you could imagine, being thrown out in the middle of this oil rig with guys who were used to doing hard drugs and everything and anything you can imagine, you know. And so there I was, literally on one end of the bench. I worked third shift too, so 11 at night till 7 in the morning, 7 days a week. And here I was on one end of the bench, you know, with my liturgy of the hours, and on the other end of the bench is a guy, you know, just cussing up a storm and telling the stories of his exploits. It was just, the contrast was just too ironic. Even now looking back, it still makes me laugh. But, you know, I learned a lot on that rig in terms of grit and determination. And, you know, when I got there, these guys, they said, "Oh, Curtis, we're going to have you cussing like us in 2 weeks. We'll give you 2 weeks." And I said, "By golly," you know. And then they said, "Oh, here he is saying, by golly," you know. And he said, you know, that I am not going to do it. I'm too German and too stubborn. Like, just because they said that, I made sure I wasn't going to do it, you know? And so there I was for a year and a half, and I don't think I ever gave them the pleasure of hearing me slip up, you know? So there's a little bit of my stubborn side coming out. But anyway, so here I was, you know, on this oil rig, and things were going well. I had my plan laid out. I was making money, and you know, I succeeded very well in school. I had, you know, everything laid out the way I thought it was, the way I thought I wanted it. And but you know, there's still, even then, there's still an emptiness. There is still, I don't know, a draw for something more. And the only way I can describe it is what St. Augustine said: "My heart is restless until it rests in you." And here I was, like, you know, all my plans going so well, and yet feeling this kind of emptiness, this kind of gnawing that I knew there was something more. And so the only time I had peace was when I'd go to Mass. I'd get, you know, I'd work from 11 at night till 7 in the morning, and then Mass was in La Crosse, Kansas at 10 a.m. And so I'd get off at 7, go home and shower for 45 minutes to get the oil and tar off of me, right? And go to Mass, and even though I'd be falling asleep in Mass, and even though sometimes, more than once, I fell asleep on the drive home, which was not safe, but you know, I hear the bumping as I'm bumping along through the ditch and wake up. Even though I'd be falling asleep in Mass, that's where I found peace. And it took a long time to start recognizing where I found peace was there in the Mass. And, you know, I'd be struggling with tiredness, but I'd be daydreaming about what I would be preaching about if I was preaching, or I would envision myself being the one saying the words of consecration. And the idea of the priesthood still scared me to death, you know, but I just couldn't shake it. It just never really went away. This went on I worked there for about 16 months, and about halfway, three quarters of the way through that, I was on my way to a date in Hayes, Kansas, and I hate being late. I'm a punctual guy. I'm always early, right, if I can help it. And so here I was to go on this date in Hayes, Kansas, and I was driving from McCracken to Hayes, and there's this little town called Liebenthal, which it's nothing. It's just if you blink, you miss it, you know. Just there's a post office and a few houses and this old beautiful church that the German immigrants built way back in the day that, you know, I drove past this church 1,000 times. And here I was like running super early, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes early. And so I thought, well, you know what? I've got some time to kill. I'm just going to stop in and see this church and just see what the inside looks like. So I did. I pulled in the parking lot before I even knew what was happening. And then, you know, I found myself walking in the back door, and laying on the ground is this little leaflet all by itself in the vestibule of the church. This little leaflet, and it's face down. So I pick it up to put it up back on the shelf with all the little flyers and leaflets and whatever. And I turn it over, and it says, "Is God calling you to be a priest?" And I was like, "Oh, nope, all right, this is going back on the shelf." You know, so... But something said, "Well, I wonder what it says. Like, how would you know? How would you check that?" So I open it up and I start reading, and inside there's this question checklist, right? There's 10 or 12 questions. Do you find yourself envisioning yourself saying Mass? I'm like, "Well, no, yeah, I do that." Do you feel that you're called to something more? Yeah, even though things were going well and I had my plan laid out, I still wasn't finding peace in that, and I knew enough to recognize that. And so as I was kind of going through this list of these questions, I thought, you know what, this actually is like describing me really well. So I think, you know what, I think I'm going to take this home with me. But I do not, I was staying with my sister and brother-in-law, and I said, I do not want my sister to see this, because if she sees this pamphlet, then she's going to know I'm thinking about going to be a priest, and I will never hear the end of it. So I will take this home, but I'm going to hide it in my underwear drawer, because I'm the only one who ever goes in there, and then I won't have to worry about her finding it. So that was my plan, and honest to goodness, no sooner had that thought crossed my mind, and the next question on this list was, do you hide vocations material in your room or whatever? And I just had a facepalm and like, God, you got me, you know? It was one of those moments that you know, and I finished the questions and said, if you said yes to two or more of these or something like that, then you should consider the priesthood. And I think I had said yes to all but maybe one or two of them, maybe all of them. And that was probably the pinnacle of the moment of finding my will and God's will kind of bumping heads with one another. It was that moment sitting in the church on my way to a date, you know, with all my plans set out. And so I just sat in the back of that church, and I just cried, you know, for as long as I could. I still wasn't late for the date, and I had puffy eyes, but I didn't want to talk about it, obviously. So it didn't take long after that when I finally decided, you know, I need to do something about this. I need to check into that. And it was talk with the priest, and you know, he said, you know, I was losing sleep, and I just felt like I couldn't, you know, commit to this girl. And he said, Curtis, why haven't you done anything about this? And I didn't have a good answer. I just said, well, I don't know. I guess I didn't even think that that's actually an option. So he encouraged me to do it. So I called and Father Mike Simone, the vocation director here in Wichita, and you know, next thing I know, I was filling out forms and doing all the visits, and just a couple of months later, I found myself in St. John Vianney Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and you know, that was it, and since then, you know, I took the seminary like a fish to water in many ways. You know, that nobody loves seminary all the time, but it felt like home. Here I am, 7 years later. I was just ordained a priest last May, and so what's that, 11 months, and the next month will be my first anniversary of the priesthood. And you know, I can't even describe the joy that I have known, the peace that I have known since that first initial stepping out of the boat like Peter, you know, and for my my holy card for my first mass, that was the scene of Jesus calling Peter. I associate so much with Peter and his own call and his struggle with discipleship with the Lord, but you know, his reluctance and his final you know, the process of conversion. And so you know, here I am out as a priest, and these last months have just completely blown away any of my expectations or hopes for the priesthood and really every capacity. Just God has been so good, and anything that I had tried to imagine of celebrating the Mass, of being the one holding the piece of bread, saying the words of consecration, it's just blown me away. Hearing confessions of they say the priest is the bridge, you know, of taking the people and presenting them before God, and then taking the absolution and bringing it back to the people. That's the most humbling place I've ever been in my life. Just sometimes you walk out of that confessional and you feel, you know, 2 inches tall of just either that somehow God chose me for this to be His representative. It's the most beautiful thing I could imagine. I can't even, and you know, I've heard other priests say this too. That's the thing, like, even in seminary, you hear priests talk about this stuff, talk about the Mass, saying, you know, if I had 100 lives to live, I would live every one of them as a priest. And I, you know, I thought I had some sense of what that meant until I was ordained, and then I started experiencing it. And it just, like I said, it just blew away everything that I had experienced before. So so here I am, and I just, I'm so excited to see how God continues to lead me and to use me for His greater glory.
That's beautiful. I have to say that you're rather articulate for a homeschool boy. I can only say that because I'm a homeschool mom, so yeah. I get to say that because of that. So yeah, I wouldn't say it otherwise.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a great job you did of presenting your vocation story. So thank you for sharing that, and thank you for saying yes to the priesthood. So
oh yeah, it's truly my pleasure.
You still drive around the diocese with those little brochures, questionnaires, and drop them on?
No.